WRXR-FM, Walden, Chattanooga. A production of Whitfield Media Group. This is the fastest hour in radio, Racing Talk Radio, on Rock 103.7, your home for NASCAR. Now, live from the Optimize U studio, here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Happy Monday, everybody, and happy Labor Day, everybody. Welcome into this special Labor Day. Yes, don't worry, we're working so you don't have to. Edition of Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. I hope everybody is enjoying this beautiful weather and winding down whatever festivities we have before we all get smacked in the face by reality tomorrow and head back to work. So maybe we'll make that transition a little bit easier as here at Racing Talk Radio, we're going to get you caught up on all the NASCAR news and information you need to know about. The playoffs are, in fact, underway, and we've got a first playoff winner. Come on down, Chase Briscoe. We'll talk about his win at Darlington, who didn't do so good. What do the point standings look like now? And once again, just a refresher on exactly how the NASCAR playoffs work. So we're in the round of 16, then 12, then 8, then the final 4, but we'll break all of that down. So it ought to be a good one. Sit back, relax. It's time for Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. And across from me, literally the only reason I would be here on a holiday, it is none other than the man that takes no holidays, except when he skips leg day. It's Sean Whitfield with Whitfield Media Group.
And along with the legendary Casey Orr. I want to make sure everybody knows who you are, too.
You know what? They know. They get it.
I'm a man of
the people.
They recognize that voice after 20 years and know exactly who he is. Well, glad to be here. I hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend. This is somewhat known as the last day of summer, but you know, we still have got some warm days ahead, but it is usually when the pools officially say that, hey, we're about to put a close sign after today.
I was gonna say, it is warm, but not quite pool warm right now. Yeah. My daughter really wanted to go to the pool today. That was because it's the last day and she loves the pool and da-da-da-da-da. And we woke up this morning and I was like, it's 70 degrees. Like, I'll go with you, but I'm not getting in. And she's like, it's fine. We don't have to go.
Well, as you said, we're going to be talking a lot of NASCAR. Also, a little bit later in the program, we've got my co-host from College Football Radio here on Rock 103.7, Stephen Hargis. He's also the sports editor for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. He's going to be joining us for a few minutes, and we're going to have a little SEC college football recap, focusing on Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. So we're going to mix a little bit of that in today at the end of the show. But in the meantime, how's the weekend?
Well, I was going to ask how fired up you were for college football.
You know, I was excited when Stephen and I did the show, aired Saturday morning right here on Rock 103.7. Man, I was ready to go. I don't know if because I've been doing this show on college football radio the last couple of years, if that's got a little bit to do with it or not. But the older I have gotten, the more I look forward to and get a little bit more excited about college football or football in general. And I've always been a big football fan. I always kept up with it and always watch, you know, a lot of the games. But in my younger days, you know, if I didn't catch a lot of the prime games on a Saturday because I was doing other things, it wasn't that big a deal. Now I kind of plan my life around the games. And so that's one thing I've noticed a little different. But, you know, it was a good opportunity to get a little feel for what some of the SEC is going to look like. Alabama, man, what a way to start their season. Got the first game, first loss. Tennessee got their first win. Georgia got their first win. But it's still too early to tell about a lot of that. But we'll break all that down with Steven. But what did your Oklahoma State Cowboys look like?
You know what? We looked really good. And this was last Thursday. Only available on ESPN Plus. But we played UT Martin. And we looked.
Does anybody even get that network?
ESPN Plus?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like lots of people.
You have to subscribe to it, though. Well, yeah. You would think Oklahoma State Cowboys would have a little more credibility than to have to be on that.
It's a Thursday night versus UT Martin. So it would be like playing UTC.
But Georgia would still be on the big boy of ESPN because
they have the SEC network, and that would be like Georgia to beat up on some UT. Anyway,
I'm just saying.
So in true Oklahoma State fashion, we looked fantastic, scored on the first two drives. Then our quarterback, who this is his transfer and supposed to be really good, and he was like super, super fast, kind of a running guy. He broke his foot, so we had to go to the backup.
Broke his foot.
We had to go.
Not sprained, but broke it.
Broke his foot. He's going to be out for an extended period.
Yeah. And Sean, sounds like the whole season.
And this is with Oregon knocking on the door. And we have now officially opened as 28.5-point underdogs at Oregon.
Well, I'll go ahead and send you a personal invitation. So, we are accepting new members to the Georgia Bulldog fan club. Oh, it's time for you to go ahead and move your membership.
I'm a little too highbrow for that.
Shit.
No, Georgia Bulldogs.
You don't have a lot to look forward to this year.
You know what? Georgia fans are like the new Alabama fans. It's just like, stop already.
Yeah. I think Tennessee fans are the worst.
Act like you've been there before.
Hadn't you seen a lot of rowdy, obnoxious Tennessee fans, though, too?
No, I think Tennessee fans are for the only problem. Tennessee fans are delusional, right? Like, they think...
Is this a shout-out to your boss, Bobby Winnie?
Love my boss, Bobby Winnie. He's a massive... And you can say this because they're good now, but there was a 10-year period where they were trash, and every year, we're going to be every... It's what Texas used to be. Yeah. Every year, we're going to be something. That same way this year. Number one. And they go lose to Ohio State, even though I think both teams are going to be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, Georgia fan, my gosh, man. Act like you've been there before.
Yeah, but we have a lot to be proud of.
I guess so.
You know? We got the Kirby Smart. Yeah. Kirby is taking over the place of Nick Saban.
I was about to say, you finally talked Nick Saban into retirement, retiring, so y'all can be number one.
That way we got the number one coach in all of college football, and especially the SEC.
Of course, I did read something that now that NIL is legal, that's how SEC is now no longer the number one conference. Now that paying players, they've always done it. It was just illegal. Now everybody gets to do it, and they're not quite dominant.
Is that the way it works? Man, I'm not happy at all about this NIL deal, you know, name, likeness, and image. It is going to get out of control.
It already is.
Yeah, but we hadn't seen nothing yet.
Imagine
the money level that it's going to go to. I understand it's well over $1 billion total so far, and we're just getting started with the whole NIL deal.
I have no problem with NIL, but it's NIL and transfers. So right now, it really is the wild, wild west. I don't know that there's anything truly stopping someone from changing teams at halftime. Like, I don't know that there's any rules truly that says they can't. Imagine NASCAR. Imagine... every week somebody hopping into I'm going to go drive for Hendrick this week, or I'm going to go over here and drive for Gibbs because they paid me.
You know what?
This.
I hadn't thought about that.
That's really kind
how we
of
could
what
adopt that in NASCAR.
Yeah, I mean, well, NASCAR has that because they're all professionals, right? You sign a contract and you decide to drive someone, and there's, you know, NASCAR's pretty serious about their contracts. Ask about Michael Jordan. But right now there's no nothing. It's just give me a ton of money. I'll play here till I don't want to anymore. It's crazy.
But I think a lot of the drivers, when they move, they're not necessarily moving for money. Because I think everybody's pay scale is similar. They're moving for
opportunity.
Opportunity to win races.
Because if you win more, you do make a lot more money.
Well, there is truth to that, too. Yeah.
So
it all kind of circles back.
The thing is, it's just like we've talked about this a couple of times. The weather's getting good. Football's on the TV. NFL's coming this weekend. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have NFL and college. NASCAR playoffs. Baseball's getting into their playoff season soon. And I've already said it, but the weather. I think it was just so hot this summer. It just feels magical when you wake up in the morning and you actually go, I might need a jacket. You know, it's just something about this time of year.
Well, typically, you know, we've got brutal humidity and temperatures all the way through the end of August. And the last 2 weeks of August have not been bad at all.
Actually been pretty dry, yeah.
Yeah, so you're right. We've kind of taken on a little bit of an early fall to some extent compared to what we've seen in past years. But, yeah, college football is officially underway. NFL starts this week. I have not gotten acquainted with the schedule yet, so I couldn't even tell you who's going to be playing who this weekend. But I think Cowboys and Eagles are going to be kicking off the season.
I just put it on Red Zone and let it fall where it may. All I know is I did my fantasy football draft this weekend. And
do you normally play that?
Oh, every year. I've got we've got a group. We've done it for coming up on 15 years now.
Wow.
I used to be good at it, but I don't follow it as closely anymore. I just like watching the games. But
does that take up a lot of time to figure all that out?
But used to, because I used to really be into it. Now I'm just like, let's pick and roll. But it's fun. It just like I don't care if Pittsburgh were playing Jacksonville. I'm probably not going to watch that game. But if my running back is from Pittsburgh and my receiver's on Jacksonville, all of a sudden I'm very vested in that game.
Yeah. And then at the end of the year, somebody's going to win a pot of gold.
Yeah. Everybody puts it in. Like in our crew, we all put in $150. And at the end of the year, second place gets their money back and first place gets everything.
Okay. You know, I've never played any of that kind of stuff. I know it's a big deal and popular with a lot of people, just like it is with people playing the fantasy with NASCAR. But something I've never done before. Overall, great weekend. Before we move forward,
good weekend. Played a round of golf. It was very not good, but other than that,
so you did get permission to play.
I got permission to play.
Wow. Good for you.
Went to Notre Dame Ray County High School football game. So that was fun. And
your first official Notre Dame high school game.
First official game. Had a good time. But yeah, fun.
Good deal. Well, I'm dealing with some eye issues. I shared with you off the air. My right eye is giving me problems and been to the eye doctor and got about 25% vision through my right eye right now. So I'm hoping they get things figured out soon. I figure I'm going to have some sort of surgery of some type. But and it all really came down on me the day after I turned 57. So I'm thinking, welcome to 57.
It's all
for goodness sakes.
Downhill from here.
I know. And I asked the doctor, I said, well, what caused this? And first thing out of his mouth was aging. Second thing was hereditary. So it wasn't anything I had done. I suspected I might have done something in the gym. But
by straining so hard.
Yeah, by straining, you know, throwing around the weight I throw around, you just never know.
Tell you what, get a little scary.
And so, nevertheless, I'm hanging in there and got to go back to the eye doctor in a couple of days. And hopefully I will get my vision back 100% soon. But don't take your vision for granted. Be thankful. And make sure you get those routine eye checks because don't let something sneak up on you like it has with me. All right, we've got NASCAR straight ahead. We're going to break down the race at the Southern 500 in Darlington. We're going to share with you how everything turned out and how the playoff drivers not all did so well. We'll get into that as well as the driver standings. And then a little bit later in the program, we're going to take a little extra time and get Stephen Hargis from College Football Radio on Rock 103.7 to join us on the Optimize You hotline and talk a little Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama football. We got all that and more straight ahead for Casey Orr. I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
Hey, it's Blake Watson with Epic Realty. Spring is here and housing inventory is up, so you have more choices for your next home in Chattanooga or Northwest Georgia. As your local realtor, I offer my experience, expertise, negotiation skills, and knowledge of Chattanooga real estate. I help make sure you get the home you want and guide you throughout the process of buying or selling. Visit athomechattanooga.com or just search me online. Blake Watson with Epic Realty, 888-893-3537.
Do you love some fresh Mexican food? Do you like to eat healthy? I've got the place for you. Check out Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill. They offer tacos, healthy bowls, burritos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. They're located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Chattanooga, right behind the Embassy Suites at Hamilton Place. If you're a student and need a job while in school, Dos Bros is now hiring and offering a sign-on bonus. See store for details.
Join Ed Jones and Clint Powell each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Vital Health Radio, presented by Vascular Institute and Vein Clinic on 98.1 The Lake. It's a radio show about living a healthy life, a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
at Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalford Road and I-75.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Back to Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr each and every week at 6 on Mondays, giving you all the NASCAR news and information you need to know, even though so far. And listen, we're with NASCAR. We got football a little bit early. Got football later. But we are going to hop into the NASCAR playoffs that did begin this weekend at Darlington. Big win for Chase Briscoe, kind of out of nowhere win for Chase Briscoe, as he not only takes in, I guess, an early claim in the playoffs, but guarantees himself a spot into the next round. So we're getting ready to break down Darlington. And of course, a little later on in the program, we'll talk about the race coming up as we head to Worldwide Technology Raceway. So going from Darlington in the south, then we're heading up to Illinois, so a little bit outside of Chicago.
I think Chase Briscoe has figured out how to take ownership of Darlington because, you know, he did this last year.
Yeah,
got second year straight.
Bit of a history.
Knocking out two consecutive Southern 500s. Joe Gibbs Racing Stars swept both stages of the playoff opener and led a race high of 309 out of 367 laps on the 1.366 mile oval. Second victory of the season.
A dominant performance. I'm sure team, what are you, like crew chiefs or team captains or whatever, right now live for this, because there's something they've got in their book and there's something they've found that's probably minor, but it gives their guys just enough of an edge. And when they see Darlington on the schedule, they circle it and go, we know we're going to be competitive here. But knowing you've got a small leg up and then actually capitalizing on it, two different things. And that was a big, big win for Chase Briscoe. And really, Sean, you look at it, two teammates came in third and fourth that were Toyota. So maybe Toyota, TRD, did some research.
Yeah, it was a good night for Legacy Motor Club, Jimmy Johnson's race team. The first time that they've had two cars in the top five. So they certainly got the attention with Toyota as well as the garage that Legacy Motor Club has perhaps found something to give them some success. And of course, Darlington is known as the track that is too tough to tame. And it took a brutal toll on the playoff field. Only four of the 16 eligible championship drivers finished in the top 10, which opens a 10 race run to the title. Playoff drivers who failed to finish on the lead lap was Christopher Bell, Alex Bowman. Both Bell was in 29th, Alex Bowman in 31st, SVG in 32nd, and Josh Berry in 38th. So a lot of chase drivers or playoff drivers went home with a little concern.
I'm all for it. A little early playoff chaos. I enjoy that type of stuff, but it really was. This was Chase Briscoe, and it was kind of his race to lose. When you lead that many, all of a sudden you go from, hey, I'm performing well, to, hey, don't screw this up. So still a great performance for those guys, and he and Tyler Reddick kind of setting themselves up to have a good first round of the playoffs.
I am glad to see that Darlington is on the race schedule at Labor Day. It's got a long history there. It left us on Labor Day on the schedule for a number of years, and NASCAR decided to bring it back. It just like it's a perfect fit there. The weather was outstanding. The temperatures were in around 80, so weather was great, and it was just a good night of watching NASCAR on a Sunday evening here on Labor Day weekend. I have figured out and learned how to take my YouTube TV and have a three channel box.
Oh man.
Where I can have football on two or maybe even football on three and then have NASCAR on there. And then that way when NASCAR goes to commercial, I just, you know, take the old remote, get caught up on what's going on with whatever game. Like last night it was Miami.
I was gonna say, did you have to watch a YouTube Notre video Dame? To figure out how to watch YouTube TV?
You know, my intelligence, I just figured it out. I finally adapt to technology.
So Mrs. Whitfield came and fixed it for you.
She's usually asking me how you do it too.
That is scary.
Yeah, I had to watch those Catholics play last night, and you know
what a game that ended up being though. That was we were treated to a lot of like sloppy football because it's early season, but there were a lot of good games came down to the wire. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's get into the results of the Southern 500 at Darlington. 501.322 mile race, 367 laps. As we were speaking about a moment ago, Chase Briscoe, he gets the win. It's his ninth victory. And 28th, or excuse me, is his ninth victory in his ninth victory in the NASCAR Cup Series. Moving on into second place, we had Tyler Reddick, third Eric Jones, fourth John Hunter Nemechek, fifth AJ Allmendinger, sixth Bubba Wallace, seventh Denny Hamlin, eighth Kyle Busch, ninth Carson Hocevar, and 10th, Chris Buescher.
Other drivers of note, Ross Chastain in 11th, Austin Cindric, 12th, Brad Keselowski, bad seat. Well, I guess I'm just going to stop mentioning where he finishes unless he wins because he's not in the playoffs and his bad season continues. Chase Elliott, 17th, Kyle Larson, 19th, Joey Logano in 20th, William Byron, 21st, Austin Dillon, 23rd. Let's see down the list a little bit. Christopher Bell, 29th off the lead lap. SVG, 32nd. Alex Bowman, 31st. And all the way down at the bottom, yes, that would be playoff driver Josh Berry in 38th. Third. So his car could get around there fast, just I guess not with other cars on there.
Yeah, seven caution flags for 37 laps and 24 lead changes among 10 drivers. Outside the top 10 that were playoff drivers, Ross Chastain, he was the highest finishing Chevrolet driver in the playoffs. And then Austin Cindric, 12th, Chase Elliott, 17th, Ryan Blaney, 18th, Kyle Larson, 19th, Joey Logano, 20th. So a few names there that it's a little bit surprising to see how poorly they finished at Darlington.
Yeah, first race of the playoffs, and like you said, had some of the usual suspects up front, but I think the most shocking thing is, like you said, Legacy Motorsports, a team underfunded, Jimmy Johnson's co-owning it, and a third and fourth place finish. So teammates get up there in a top five.
Yeah, Eric Jones, John Hunter Nemechek get that top five finish. Moving into the driver standings after the Cookout Southern 500 at Darlington, Chase Briscoe in first. Playoff driver, second, Denny Hamlin, playoff driver. He's 3 points behind the leader. Third is Kyle Larson, fourth, Tyler Reddick, and fifth, Bubba Wallace.
Oh, William Byron, despite his bad run, is in sixth spot. Ryan Blaney, seventh. Ross Chastain, eighth. Austin Cindric, ninth. Christopher Bell rounds out the top 10. After that, Chase Elliott in 11th. SVG, 12th. Logano, 13th. Austin Dillon, 14th. Alex Bowman and Josh Berry round out the top 16. After this round, Sean, the bottom four go home. And right now that would be Logano, Dillon, Bowman, and Berry. Not actually home. They continue to race. They just can't win a championship anymore. SVG is right there on the line to beat, but there's not a lot of room. There's so many people bundled. Nobody has actually raced their way out of it yet. The only person we know for sure that's raced his way into it, and that's Chase Briscoe. He is guaranteed to be into the next round.
Of course, I never would have expected Austin Dillon to make it into the final 16. He's hanging in there in 14th spot, so he's not dead last. He's still got a little bit left.
Attaboy.
Hanging in there. All right, it is time for us to take a break. When we come back, we will get into some of the latest news in the world of NASCAR, as well as a little bit later in the program, we'll be joined on the Optimize You Hotline with Stephen Hargis, my co-host on College Football Radio on 103.7, and the sports editor from the Chattanooga Times Free Press. More NASCAR straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
Go to your favorite podcast platform and search Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You.
Join Sean Whitfield, Matt Davis, and Darren Johnson for a podcast about fitness, health, and bodybuilding.
We feature the best in fitness and bodybuilding right here in Chattanooga.
You can expect workout advice and fitness tips from two of the best fitness and bodybuilding trainers in Chattanooga.
Many great guests and inspiring conversations.
A lot of laughs and entertainment to go along with it.
Subscribe and follow Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You, today.
Vector Security can create you a home automation solution that will give you the convenience and peace of mind of being able to control your security system, lights, locks, video, thermostat, and more, all from your Vector Security app.
Vector Security provides professional alarm and security system monitoring to ensure your home is well protected against all threats.
Vector Security has 24/7 expert security monitoring, lifetime satisfaction guarantee, complete home automation, and is 100% wireless.
Choose Vector Security. Find them online at vectorsecurity.com.
Chattanooga, when it comes to vascular care, there's a regional leader that really stands out, the Vascular Institute. Why are we your easy button for care? At the Vascular Institute, we put you in control. Self-referrals are not just welcome, they're encouraged for maximum convenience and flexibility for all. No more waiting in the dark. We offer timely appointments to address your symptoms promptly. Your health is our priority, and we understand the importance of swift action. Experience the team of dedicated specialists who provide personalized care. If you're looking for more than just care, if you're looking for the leaders in their field, choose the Vascular Institute, your trusted care provider, and experience the VIC difference today. 5 convenient locations to serve you. Find Vascular Institute online at vascularinstituteofchattanooga.com.
At Silverdale Baptist Church, we exist to lead people into an authentic relationship with Christ so they will worship God, grow in their faith, and then serve the Lord. Learn more about us and discover a campus and service time that fits you best at SilverdaleBC.com.
Listen up, Chattanooga. We've got a radio show that's just for you.
On the Move Radio on 98.1 The Lake each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We're a radio show that's all about Chattanooga.
Join Sean Whitfield, Amy Morrow, and Barry Quarter as we discuss government, events, entertainment, lifestyle, and so much more.
For past shows, check out onthemoveradio.com or find us on all major podcast platforms. Just search On the Move Radio Download.
A production of the Whitfield Media Group.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back. It's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Happy Labor Day to everybody. Hopefully enjoying this last little bit of time off before we all head back to work tomorrow. And hopefully enjoying getting caught up on all the NASCAR news and info you need to know. Special time of the year. We've got weather. We've got football. We've got NASCAR playoffs. Baseball's getting close to the playoffs. It's just a good time to be alive, which it is always, but sometimes just better than others. Summer coming to a close, and Darlington, the first race in the playoffs coming to a close that saw a big win for... can't pull it up. Right. Oh, my God. You had it on the screen, Sean.
Chase Briscoe.
I was sitting here trying to. I was two steps ahead. I've only talked about it 5 times already.
And you're not even 50 yet. That's the kind of stuff I do. And I am illegally able to do it because I'm over 50. You're 46.
This is what
happened. You went brain dead there for a moment.
No, listen, this is what happened. So we have this awesome studio that you, of course, provide. And then you've got 87 screens, and you always have everything up here. And I just turn and look at it. When I'm talking, it just keeps flowing.
I had already
and
changed
all of a sudden,
screens.
That's gone. And I'm looking at the only NASCAR name I see is Connor Zilich, and he won the Xfinity race.
Yeah, and that was by mistake.
Which, big win for team owner Dale Jr. anyway. But I was like, that's not... Chase Briscoe. That's Connor Zilla. So there you go. It's a little behind the scenes working of how these shows go.
Hey, in just a moment, we're going to talk about the 2026 NASCAR Cup Series schedule. Came out a couple of weeks ago. However, we have not spoke about it yet. I was thinking about this yesterday. This time of year, NASCAR has got a tremendous amount of competition when they're going up against college and NFL pro football. I was thinking, how would it be if NASCAR figured out a way to have their season complete before football began? Would that be a detriment to the sport, or could that raise the stock value of the sport because it would be more eyeballs watching the playoffs because they wouldn't be competing against football?
I think yes. I do think there would be less competition. I think
a lot less competition.
A contracted or constricted schedule, smaller schedule, basically, I think would benefit NASCAR a ton. However, there's you can't do that without losing money, and we all know that's not going to happen. NASCAR, its problem is it's pretty much year round. The schedule's so long, it's a lot like golf. Like golf, they take maybe a month or two off, and then boom, here we go again.
And so you do see that as a problem.
So yes. So what happens is you have so many of these races, then less and less of them start to matter. Well, the playoffs have now made them all matter because you want to get a win. But hardcore motorsports or hardcore NASCAR fans always going to watch, man. You don't have to worry about them. They're not going anywhere. We tune in. We want to see what's going on. However, the casual fan only has so much, you know, bandwidth to say, only so much download they can take. And right now, listen, that's going to be the two most popular sports in America by a mile are football and college football. Mm-hmm. And with all that unveiling, it's pretty easy to lose the fact that the NASCAR playoff started and Chase Briscoe just got a really big win. I always pay attention to these things. You know, Sean, we always talk about it. I always if I didn't pay attention to NASCAR, would I know anything about NASCAR going on? And based on the TV that I watched over the weekend, no. I mean, there's no, oh, by the way, you know, there's a big race and Chase Briscoe won. You know, ESPN has all but stopped covering NASCAR anyway. And I think people have all but stopped watching SportsCenter. It's all, everything's done on your phones now in these quick little bits. So I don't know. I think it would make a big difference, but I think that's a very expensive gamble NASCAR's never going to take.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. To change the business model from the way it is to the business model that the season has to be over by the end of August, That would be a big shock. And I don't know if the teams could afford to be able to stay in business if that were to happen, because that means they're going to be taking a lot less money in. However, on the other aspect, they're going to have less overhead, you would think. But then you go back to the other side of the court. These are people that they're employing 52 weeks a year. And in order to have the level of staff and talent of engineers that they have, you've got to be able to employ them 52 weeks a year. So I find the business side always interesting and fascinating to me. And I'm always trying to get a feel of how things might be if it was a different way, or would it, you know, be better the other way. Before we get into the 2026 season, I wanted to give just a little brief update. As best I can figure it out on the antitrust lawsuit NASCAR against, or Michael Jordan and Front Row Motorsports against NASCAR. And this thing has been going on all year long. It does, in fact, look like it's going to go to trial in December, which we have talked about before. Of course, there was a 2-hour hearing this past week, and I just wanted to share a few of the things that came out of that. Michael Jordan was interviewed after he got out of court. He says, "I've been a fan of the game for a long period of time. When we first started this whole process, I always said I wanted to fight for the betterment of the sport. The sport itself needs to continually change for the better of the for the teams and for the fans, as well as for NASCAR too, if they understand that. I feel like we made a good statement today about that. I look forward to going down with fire. If I have to fight this to the end for the betterment of the sport, I will do that. And so,
strong words.
There is no question that Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin and Front Row Motorsports are going to fight this to the bitter end. And the fact of the matter is they can afford to do it. And so can NASCAR. And neither one of them seems to be giving.
Yeah, I listen, they're diametrically opposed to what's going on. Obviously, I think there's some hurt feelings going on as well. You know how it is when really wealthy people get emotions involved. I think we saw that, you know, with Jerry Jones and the latest cowboy drama. However, once again, I don't care how rich you are, Sean, people get tired of cutting giant checks. And so eventually, after some back and forth sparring in court, this will go away.
Of course, there was a lot of back and forth in court, sharing texts and emails, copies for on both the NASCAR side and the 2311 and the Front Row Motorsports side. One thing that caught my attention in some of the things that had been text back and forth, this was a text that Denny Hamlin had made to, I guess, Michael Jordan. It said, "We're gonna. I want to fight with NASCAR to the bitter end. Me despising the France family runs deep." So,
man, I don't care.
That came out.
I don't care how old you are. Would it not just be so? Oh, I just cringe at thinking about letting some of my dirt out in public.
Yeah.
Like I got to do business with the France family. They probably know I don't like them, but I've never said it.
That just goes to show you whenever you put something in a text or email,
man,
you never know when it can come out in court.
Anybody that's ever had to be a part of any sort of discovery, my stomach just turns thinking about it.
And if this thing goes to trial, and it's likely it will, there is going to be a whole lot of things about the side of NASCAR that NASCAR has never wanted to go public, but that it is.
Matt, listen, remember when France was getting divorced from his wife again? And that's part of what
stuff came out in the divorce settlement.
Yeah. So there is, we owe a lot of that to really figuring out how valuable NASCAR is. For the longest time, we all had an idea, but no one really knew. Well, it's literally divorce documents. Good old hurt feelings about divorce is what shed a lot of light on that. It's called discovery, man. It's like, don't ever write down or leave a recording of anything that you don't want brought to light someday.
That's for sure. We got about a minute before we got to get to a break. Just a couple of things I want to point out about the 2026 season. We'll be back at Bowman Gray Stadium for the Clash. That's going to be coming up on Sunday, February 1st. It's almost like it gets started a little bit earlier every year. February the 15th will be the Daytona 500. The Super Bowl is going to be on February 8th, by the way. Going on down the line, anything that sort of stands out that looks a little different is we have got Easter off. It seems like we raced on Easter this year, if I'm not mistaken.
I do think it's funny that they list a race called the Easter Bunny 500, but then leave the date open. Like, that's a pretty funny one from NASCAR.
Yeah. And then, of course, we've got a new one on the schedule. It's going to be June 21st, where we're going to be in San Diego at the Naval Base Coronado. And that's going to be on Father's Day. We've got Chicagoland Speedway back on July the 5th, so we won't be on the streets of Chicago. We've got North Wilkesboro.
Summer Break 400. Yeah, I'll tell you what, NASCAR's PR team's just on fire.
And we got North Wilkesboro that's going to be on July the 19th, since we're not going to be back there for the All-Star race.
And ironically, the Iowa Corn 350 is an actual race. That's not a made-up name.
Yeah. Those were the major things that caught my attention as we get ready to head to a break. Anything you want to say before we about the schedule before we get to the break?
No, it's looking forward to San Diego.
Take notice of the last race of the season.
Back to Miami.
back to Miami for the championship. All right, it is time for us to take a pause for the calls. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Stephen Hargis, sports editor with the Chattanooga Times Free Press and my co-host of College Football Radio on Rock 103.7. We're going to get a little recap in of this past weekend's college football. We got that and more straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
Hi, I'm Sean Whitfield.
And I'm Blake Watson.
Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for Your Home Radio, presented by Blake Watson with Epic Realty on 98.1 The Lake.
Featuring a variety of topics all related to your home.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalford Road and I-75.
Chattanooga, when it comes to vascular care, there's one name that stands above the rest, the Vascular Institute, your regional leaders in vascular care. What sets us apart? First and foremost, your convenience matters. We're the only vascular practice to welcome self-referrals, putting you in control of your health journey. No need for a maze, just a direct path to the care you deserve. Worried about wait times? At the Vascular Institute, timely appointments are our promise. Your symptoms won't wait, and neither should you. Comprehensive care isn't just a tagline. It's our commitment. High-quality outpatient treatments that cover all areas of your vascular health, that's the Vascular Institute difference. 5 convenient locations to serve you. Find Vascular Institute online at vascularinstituteofchattanooga.com.
Hey, it's Blake Watson with Epic Realty. Housing inventory is up in 2025, and as your local realtor in Chattanooga and Northwest Georgia, I can help you navigate today's market. Visit athomechattanooga.com. Blake Watson with Epic Realty, 888-893-3537.
Do you love some fresh Mexican food? Do you like to eat healthy? I've got the place for you. Check out Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill. They offer tacos, healthy bowls, burritos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. They're located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Chattanooga, right behind the Embassy Suites at Hamilton Place. If you're a student and need a job while in school, Dos Bros is now hiring and offering a sign-on bonus. See store for details.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back. It's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Hopefully everybody continues to enjoy this just absolutely beautiful Labor Day weather. What do we used to call this Chamber of Commerce Day out there?
I think it is.
So hopefully everybody's enjoying their day off, out having fun, goofing off, running around, and of course listening to us get you caught up on all the NASCAR news and info you need to know. Big win by Chase Briscoe in the very first race of the NASCAR playoffs 2025. And of course, looking forward to next week as we get into round two of 16, Sean, or race two in the round of 16. You know, we really, that's the problem with radio it. Is you can't have a diagram that people can look at while you explain. That is one thing NASCAR needs to get better at is we got to, you know, little less theater of the mind when it comes to explaining the playoff format.
Well, now it's time to shift gears because we're going to shift gears.
Let's go to something even more confusing.
To what everybody was watching this past weekend when they weren't flipping the channels to catch the race at Darlington, and that is some college football. And it is time to go to the Optimize U hotline and bring on our buddy, none other than the co-host of College Football Radio on Rock 103.7 and the sports editor for the Chattanooga Times Free Press, Stephen Hargis. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, we are doing great. Thank you for taking some time to join us today. Well, Stephen, you made the journey down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium to see Tennessee, sitting high atop the press box. How did your day go, other than you got to witness a win?
It was good. It was an early start, I tell you that. I had a high school game to cover Friday night, so by the time we finished writing all that stuff, it was probably 1:30-ish. Got to bed. Alarm clock went off at 5 a.m. and met our UT beat writer, David Pascal, there in Lookout Valley, and hit the interstate. And because you never know with Atlanta traffic, as y'all well know. Yeah. We wanted to get down there early enough that if there was traffic, we could zip around it and get make our way to Mercedes-Benz in plenty of time to, you know, read over some of the pregame notes and things like that, watch warm-ups and see if there's anybody who wasn't playing, which, of course, Tennessee wound up going without their one of their starting tackles, David Sanders, the five-star offensive tackle out of high school. You know, his first game as a freshman, he was held out. I think he banged up a shoulder maybe late in practice last week, so they held him out. But the offensive line, you know, did well even without him there.
Was what you saw of the offense and defense sort of what you expected? Does it look like Tennessee's got what it's going to take to get ready for the first SEC conference opponent?
You know, Sean, I'll be honest. I did not know what to expect at all, just because there was so much new on the offense. I feel like the defense will be okay this year, but the big question going in was the offense, and especially with a brand new starting quarterback that nobody had really seen play, unless when Joey Aguilar, you know, signed with Tennessee after Nico left. I'm sure a lot of Tennessee fans went to YouTube and started watching Appalachian State highlights to see what they had just gotten. So you really didn't know a whole lot going into the game. But I think a lot of the questions, if not answered per se, they put to at ease some of the concern, because Joey Aguilar, you know, was really better than what was expected, at least in that game. He hit on, you know, several things that Tennessee did not do last year. They never could connect on the long pass, it seemed like. You know, the big splash plays, Nico was constantly overthrowing guys. And the year before that, Joe Milton, same. So it's been a couple of years when Hendon Hooker was there that they really were able to exploit what Josh Heupel's offense is built around. And that's, you know, you're going to run the ball, but you're also, when guys creep into the box to stop the run, you've got those fast receivers that can blow past the DBs and the safeties and hit those 50 and 60 yard touchdowns. And that was exactly what, you know, right before halftime, Joey Aguilar hit on one of those. And I think, you know, you saw the Tennessee section really explode and Twitter exploded as well with a lot of excitement, because that was something they had not seen in the last couple of years, was to be able to do that. And then he was just solid throughout. I mean, the big concern was he had a history of throwing interceptions when he was at App State. You know, a lot of the thought there was he was trying to do too much. And now that he's at Tennessee and he's got better athletes around him, he may not have to do that. And that was the case Saturday. He never put the ball in harm's way at all. It was never anything close to a dangerous throw over the middle or anything like that. So, you know, I was as pleased for Tennessee, not only with the big splash play that they hit with Braylon Staley there for a big touchdown, but also later in the second half, he had kind of a scramble drill where the pocket was collapsing a little bit, and instead of just tucking the ball and running, and he would not have gotten a first down or a touchdown, he kind of kept his eyes downfield and lobbed a nice pass to Star Thomas for a touchdown. So just a lot of things that we saw. You know, he ran the ball on some design carries for him. He ran the ball well, put his shoulder down, and was a physical runner. So I think he might be a better fit. He's not as hyped as Nico Iamaleava was, but he might be a better fit for the way that Josh Heupel wants to run his offense, because he can hit the deep ball. He runs the ball physically, so he gives you kind of that running threat as well. So I think he answered a lot of the questions as far as at quarterback. And in the offensive line, you know, they've got four new starters up front, and even without David Sanders, I thought the offensive line played really well. They were able to run the ball. I mean, they were very balanced. They threw for 247 and ran for 246, so that was a lot of balance, and they showed that they've got that depth that you expected out of the backfield. Star Thomas wound up leading them with about 92 yards, and you know, the other guys who came in were just as impressive as far as being physical. So the offense, I think, answered a lot of questions just in terms of, we don't know for sure how good they'll be yet, but you know there's a lot of potential that they showed.
You know, I think if I'm a Tennessee fan, cautious optimism after this weekend, because, I mean, it is the beginning of the season. We were treated to a lot of pretty stop and start early season football. Not all of it was pretty, but I thought Tennessee looked like one of the best or more cohesive kind of midseason form teams in all of college football this weekend. The other one, the first half wasn't good, but LSU, I think, may be scary good because they are lightning fast and they seemed to, like, in the second half started putting it together. But I think, you know, early season, you know, you want to play better, you know, like you want to play good, not bad, but also you can't get too far ahead of your skis because it's early season football. Well, it takes a while to get going.
Well, there's one thing about the Tennessee game. We got a lot. We got a lot of time to watch a lot of football because that game lasted forever.
Well, all the penalties and the fake cramps and all that stuff. It was so bad.
I mean, it looked like it was going to take forever. And Steven, you and I were kind of texting back and forth. And also, both teams had their fair share of injuries. And do you think that Tennessee had any injuries that could come back to haunt them as they start to get ready for Georgia?
There was nothing after the game, Sean, that led you to think that it was anything that would keep guys out for extended period of time. Now, they've got ETSU, the home openers this week. They play East Tennessee State. I would expect those guys, Jackson Moy, you know, a defensive lineman who's really, really good and a starter, went out with an elbow injury, tried to come back a couple of times. I saw him on the sidelines kind of stretching his arm out and punching a pad, you know, trying to see if he can get that oomph back into his arm, and he kept shaking his head that he never could. So not sure what the issue was there. Same way with Ricky Gibson, starting cornerback, went out with what looked like an elbow injury as well. They didn't really say anything after the game that would lead you to believe these are like going to be things that they're concerned about in 2 weeks when they have Georgia coming into Knoxville. I would expect this week, any of those guys who got banged up or any starters who have nagging small injuries, you're going to see them either not play at all Saturday, or they'll see very limited action. This screams a game where a lot of the new guys, the freshmen, the transfers, things like that, backups are going to see a lot of snaps against ETSU, I would assume, going into this one. You want to get your timing and things like that down offensively early on, but I would say they're not going to keep those guys out there at risk this week. So any of those guys that got banged up, I have a hard time believing you're going to rush them out there this week against ETSU instead of letting them rest and heal for 2 weeks before Georgia comes in.
All right, let's head down to Florida and talk about Alabama at Florida State. Steven, as you know, I think that we both always pull for SEC whenever it's possible. But there was a part of me that was kind of glad to see those Seminoles whip up on the Tide. And I tell you what, it's going through social media like wildfire. It's already time to start sending a Ryder truck to Coach's house, haul him out of Alabama, and try to beg and start a GoFundMe for Nick Saban. What are your thoughts?
Well, I did think it was funny. I mean, when you saw the meltdown on Twitter after the game, because I had written my story by then and was waiting for my coworker to finish up with his. So I was scrolling Twitter because Alabama by then was either the game was already in hand for Florida State, and the meltdown was full on that they had to go find somebody else. And so I started looking it up, and it's like a $70 million buyout. You know, if they want to buy out Kalen DeBoer and send him packing, it's going to cost them $70 million. So that's, you swallow hard when you start thinking about coughing up that kind of money just to give a guy that kind of money to go away. But he is, I mean, here's the thing. Alabama in their last 10 games, they're 5-5. Saturday, their first drive, they ran the ball for 55 yards down the field, scored the touchdown. They finished with 87 yards rushing. So 55 of that 87 was on the first drive. They just got up front. They just got physically manhandled. And when's the last time you saw that happen to an Alabama team? So there are some definite issues. I mean, they have been a very undisciplined team ever since Kalen DeBoer got there. And I say all this, Kalen DeBoer is obviously a good coach with what he did at Washington. He's been a good coach. It just might be, it's throwing up enough red flags where you kind of go, he's a good coach, but is he a good fit at Alabama? Because things are ran differently at Alabama, as we all know. And maybe he's just a bad fit, because every game last year obviously was his first season, so he went through all of last season, and then Saturday's game, Alabama under him has not had a single game where they had fewer penalties than their opponent. They're a very undisciplined team under Kalen DeBoer, and that's coming back to bite them.
What he had to do last year, it was basically the impossible. Like, there was going to be, you know, and I didn't hold anything last year, but I tell you what, if you're watching that game, all the fire was on Florida State's side. It just seemed like Alabama was going through the motions. And even though they're supremely talented, that's just not the world we live in anymore. I thought their quarterback looked good, but like nothing else about Alabama really jumped off the screen. I did find this interesting, though. The last time a opposing fan base didn't rush the field after beating Alabama was in 2010 at LSU. So that's the other thing. They get everybody's best shot, and that's going to continue for a while.
We just got a couple of minutes left before we have to come to a close, but I want to get your view on what we could see with Georgia. They played Marshall, which is not really putting them up much to a test, but they did walk away with a win 45-7. What's your thoughts there, Stephen?
They did, and Gunnar Stockton, you know, looked good. You know, he led him in, obviously in passing with about 190 yards, also led him in rushing. I mean, that one was, 24-0 at the half, 38-0 after three quarters. They only allowed like 200 yards. So, I mean, everything you expected Georgia to do, they did. That's something that you really, I know Georgia fans, it's easy for them now with Kirby to do this, and just like it was for Alabama under so many years under Saban. You should never take that for granted, that you did what you're supposed to do to an outmanned opponent. A lot of times you can let guys like that, you know, an early day start, kind of not a lot of pizzazz or buzz around the game other than the fact that it's the season opener. Guys could kind of sleepwalk through it, but they didn't. You know, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They took Marshall apart and dominated them on both sides of the ball. I think Marshall averaged less than 3 yards per play. So that was impressive to see that Georgia just didn't play down to the level of the competition. They kept their standard up there where they want to be at. And even though it's the opener, and I'm sure there's lots of things that they're going to find that they need to tweak and work on, and especially Kirby Smart will, because he's such a perfectionist. But I think just the fact that they were so dominant from start to finish has to be a good sign that these guys have their minds in the right way going into a game like that.
And you can join Stephen and I this Saturday morning, 9 a.m., right here on Rock 103.7 for College Football Radio. And we're going to break down the entire college football game day each and every Saturday. We'll recap some of the highlights of the previous games, look ahead, and get some of the latest with news, as well as have a lot of great guests. And Stephen, folks can keep up with you on a daily basis at timesfreepress.com to catch all of your outstanding writing, but they can also follow you how and where on social media.
Find me on Twitter at Stephen Hargis. It's Stephen with a PH. It's just at Stephen Hargis, and we'll have, you know, any kind of breaking news or news and notes that we find out about, or links to our stories on the website. So, yeah, that's a great way to follow.
All right. Stephen, thank you so much for having a little quick discussion with us about college football, and I will see you Saturday morning here on Rock 103.7.
Looking forward to it. Sean, you guys have a great day.
All right. Thank you so much. Stephen Hargis with the Chattanooga Times Free Press, and he is my new partner on College Football Radio on 103.7.
Just to clarify, this is now two of your hosts or co-members.
Yeah, don't I have the best team ever?
That you're making work on Labor Day. I just want to get that clear. Well, for the record.
I just want to emphasize I am surrounded with the best of the best when it comes to college football and NASCAR. Couldn't do without you guys, and very grateful. And, man, where else would you rather be at 6:55 or almost 7 o'clock on a Monday?
Oh, you know what? At home, getting ready for the real world to smack me in the face tomorrow after four good days off.
All right, man. We are about out of time. Any final words before we go?
No, have a great weekend. Let's do this again next Monday. Talk about race two of the playoffs.
That we will. We'll be continuing to get you ready for each and every playoff race as we continue the NASCAR playoffs, as well as all the news on and off the track. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield, and thank you for listening.
This has been the fastest hour in radio. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Your home for NASCAR. Join Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield each Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 103.7. Check out our website. And for past shows, racingtalkradio.com. This has been a production of the Whitfield Media Group.